This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday. Football's back. Football's back.
He's baked.
Football's back. Thursday night football tonight. You got the Dallas Cowboys heading on over to New Jersey to take on the New York Giants.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that means
panic alert.
Football's technically back. But.
Okay, how about Army Temple? Does that do it for you?
I mean,
hmm?
That actually might be more interesting to me.
Army Temple get you going?
Might be more interesting to me.
Yeah,
anytime you get a service academy going, I'm like, my eyebrow goes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, that's going to get weird.
Not a great football day, but that means we can kind of focus on baseball a little bit. I got right now, I'm watching Royals Nationals.
With implications.
Yeah. The Mariners season hinges
on the
Kansas City Royals losing to the Washington Nationals. And, that's not good. Oh, hey, errant throw. It is now 4-4 bottom of the eighth inning in D.C., almost double play, but Royals couldn't turn it. The Mariners desperately need the Royals to lose.
Hmm.
But, I mean, you win 54% of your games. You don't have to worry about them. The Royals losing, right?
It's tough.
It's true.
It's tough.
It's true. The Mariners need to win out. They need the Royals to take some L's. The Tigers take some L's. The Twins take some L's. It's all that needs to happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really simple math. It's science right now. Sucks. We can focus on a little baseball today. Huh? How about that?
As someone whose team is not in the wild card chase, I just don't care.
Yep. All right. Well, sadness for you then. Mm. Sadness for you.
Womp,
yesterday,
womp.
We started the show with the food wars at the Meringue household.
Yes.
And today we've got a battle of our own because I sent this text message to my wife. My wife, last night it was cold. Like it was cold outside.
Yes.
And she had window open, fan going. I was like, our room is freezing right now. She's like, well, you know, I like it colder in here. This morning, I mean, I was like shivering. Last night, blankets like up to my chin. This morning, I get out of bed. I see a heating pad on her side of the bed.
Wow.
So I sent the text message of, huh, if you were cold at night and I preferred to keep the window open while we sleep, and then you found out I was sleeping with the heating pad, how do you think that would go for me?
Just a little low crawl and throwing that chaos grenade over the top.
How do we think this would play out on my end?
Not passive aggressive at all.
how do we feel like this thing would play out here with the picture of the heating pad in the bed?
Hmm.
You
had the evidence?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
Just doesn't mean you're going to win.
No, I'm taking this loss. This is a loss I will take. I'm going to take this one. But these are the situations very similar to the situation you were in yesterday. This is like what Will, you're single. This is what marriage is. All right?
I'll stay single then.
You get these little battles that are going, right? You get these little...
I mean, the ice cream battle continued to wage war last night.
Uh-oh.
So
it was too cold for ice cream.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, I can agree. It does get too cold for ice cream.
Yeah, I know, but it wasn't last night, particularly after an edible.
Oh, okay. Two nights in a row, back
then you
to back.
Were warm.
Yeah. I was cozy.
Back-to-back nights.
Look man,
at you.
I'm working out a lot more, and I'm in a lot more pain. It's the nature of the beast here.
Not known to kill gains, marijuana. Yeah. Alcohol, though, bad. Yeah. Don't do that. Kills gains.
Kills gains.
But to be fair, I had...
I'm living a healthier lifestyle. give me this edible where I'm just going to eat.
Well, to be fair, all I did eat was what was left in the very bottom of the little Häagen-Dazs cup.
Yeah, so all right.
But okay. I went in there, I grab it, I grab the spoon, and I turn around, and my wife is standing in the doorway, like, leering at me. And I go, what? She goes, well, I guess you can have it.
I guess and you can have it?
I was like, I'm sorry, what? She goes, oh, I was coming in here to eat that. I'm like, no!
Oh, man.
No! If I wanted to throw it away at this point in time, it was my prerogative to do that. You ate all of mine.
Dang.
So I thought it was done there. So she goes, fine, I'll make a smoothie.
You know better than that.
So she's like, I'll make a smoothie.
It was definitely not done there.
And so she made a delicious smoothie. And as she walked away for a split second, I went over and gave a little sample. And she had the audacity to go, I only made a small one. What are you doing? And I was like, you ate all my ice cream.
Yeah, no, this is where you just needed to eat the brain freeze. Know it's
just
coming.
Just house it.
Just pound as much as you can and then just have that little bit left, like the two bites she left you, where she was like, hey, I left you some.
Enjoy.
And then just be like, left you some.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to choose violence, that's the way that could have played out. But I am proud of you. You did not choose violence.
I didn't.
You did not go full petty. No. You just took the sip.
Just scolded her and said, look,
Look,
when I took the sip, when she said something, the glass stayed near my lips for about 5 seconds where I contemplated, do I just house this? I was like, I just kind of gave her the side eye, like, you know, if I want this, it's mine.
So now we just have threats going.
Then she Tonya Harding to you.
I mean, she didn't have to try that hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is becoming like Tom and Jerry. Like, this is a blood feud.
Yeah.
Brewing.
Yeah.
Somebody has to win.
Instead of coming back and like having the coconut pineapple.
Is that what it is? Pineapple coconut, yeah.
Sure. Instead of having that, like, hey, olive branch, I was going to eat that.
Yes. I was like, how dare you?
I think you found your soulmate, bud.
Yep.
I think you did. I think you found somebody that just fits you, right? You got that.
She knows how to instigate.
Oh, man. So that's marriage, Will. Mm-hmm. Buckle up, buddy.
Not going to do that anytime soon. I'm going to hang out over here where I get all the ice cream I want whenever I want it.
Yeah, I think that's for the best. Just for, like, society as a whole, too.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
I'm a nice guy. I'm an educator, dude. Wow. I was running around with kindergartners yesterday.
Educating
the youth.
Yeah, yeah. I think some people should just stay single, you know, not have kids.
But then I'm the weird uncle. I don't like that. That's a bad look. Don't want to be the weird uncle.
I mean, you're not.
Not yet.
You're not.
But at 36 and single, that's a different situation.
Do you think that you won't be the weird uncle regardless?
No, I'll be the fun uncle because I'll take them to go get ice cream and then give them back to my brother as like a punishment for him being my little brother.
Okay.
And annoying me.
But like that. All right, but when you have kids, like you can do that being single. How would that be you being weird uncle?
Yeah, but then like you have to explain, like, I feel
I'm
like...
I'm just trying to help the greater good.
All here. I know is I know of, like, not a family member, but a friend of the family. And I always thought of their uncle as weird. Now, to be fair, he also lived in their treehouse.
To be fair, what?
And he was single, but that was its own thing. But I always found him to be the weird uncle, and that's, like, my biggest fear. Never be that guy or buy any cats.
I mean, you're not very many steps away from living in a treehouse, but...
I live in an apartment. I pay rent. Rent went up, and I can still afford it. What up?
Ba-bam.
Up again, you'll be in the treehouse.
Yeah, you could be in a tree.
Yeah, that could happen.
Look, you're one bad weekend at ALNA away from living in a treehouse, brother.
I'm not up there that much. I'm not up there that much. I do just fine.
Is it the...
Everything is responsible gambling.
What was the show the Roloffs were on?
Little People, Big World.
That's right, yeah. They have a kick-ass treehouse out on that property. Have you ever seen that thing?
Yeah.
They used to have it open to like a THPRD like rec center trip. Remember those summer trips that you could do when we were kids?
Never went on them. My sister babysat for them.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. That's where we lived.
Yeah, I guess it is relatively close, yeah.
No, that was like, we lived like a mile from
two blocks?
No. We didn't have blocks. It's the country.
No, it's the country. It's a lot of property.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you can have a cool treehouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool treehouses are great. My our offensive line coach in college He had a great little piece of land kind of up in the woods up in Ashland, and he had a treehouse that had electricity, had cable.
Yeah.
He had like his own little fridge, and he was like, dude, this is my escape.
See, that's my escape. That's a man cave. Cave treehouse rocks.
It was badass, dude. It was an awesome treehouse.
Living in a treehouse, aka your brother's treehouse, really sad. Yeah. Don't want to be that guy.
Well,
I mean, man cave treehouse, really cool.
I mean, if it's a cool treehouse, though.
Nope. Right. This is like living in your brother's
basement. I wonder how they zone that. Like, if you owned a piece of property in like greater Portland metro area, but you didn't build a house, but you just built a treehouse.
Yeah.
What would they? How does that get?
I don't know.
Do they tax you based on the square footage of your treehouse? Like,
you have to ask permission to build a treehouse.
Well, it depends on where you have electricity.
Yeah. Not like this is government overreach I've been hearing about.
Oh, buddy.
Stay out of my treehouse.
Yeah, if you're in Portland, if you're in Multnomah County, you got to ask to wipe your butt. If you're out in, like, you know, Yamhill County, where I'm at, you don't ask for anything. And that's the wonderful. That's why you go live in those counties.
Yep.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. Nothing goes wrong out there.
You guys do it way different in Oregon than we do in Washington. I don't have to ask anyone to wipe my butt.
Well, I bet you do.
I mean, you're probably just not doing it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I think starting would be your... starting would be a good baseline for you, Will. Then we can go from there.
Yeah.
Maybe you should.
Ask people. If you say yes to wiping my butt, I don't want to be around.
Asking somebody else to do it for you. You're asking permission to do it.
Yes.
I'm not doing that.
I know.
I'm not asking permission for anything.
I would love... How many bathrooms have you been to that have a bathroom attendant? Will.
That's do you a know real what a bathroom... I know what it is. I've seen TV.
I could see Will going, little help.
Nah. I'm an at-home
only
guy.
What are you doing here? What's your role?
What's that towel for?
What's your role here for?
I'd be very confused. I'd be more like, hey, get out.
You throw me one of those mints?
There's no peeping Toms when I'm in the bathroom. Get out.
Oh, man. All right. Well, there we go. That's an opener for you.
I like it.
All right.
I like it. I also like the Washington Nationals relief pitcher right now, Finnegan. Incredible lettuce.
He's got good flow.
Oh, man. That is luscious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Natural curls.
Yep.
I need to find out what he uses.
Coconut curls.
Okay.
I almost brought it out. I almost brought it out. Yeah.
You're weirdly obsessed with your hair.
Well, I had not done anything with it for like 2-3 weeks.
You told this story yesterday.
Yeah. But I brushed it down. My wife was shocked.
Yeah.
It's getting there, man.
Well, maybe that's why she's eating your ice cream.
Wow.
Well, she doesn't like it.
Mm.
You know she doesn't like it.
I ordered headbands, and now I feel very weird about it.
This hell is going to be an issue.
As a bald guy, hell yeah, dude.
Will needs a headband.
I was working out last night, and my hat kept...
Your eyes?
No, yes. My hat kept falling off, and my hair kept getting in my face.
All right.
I was like, worst. God dang it. I'm going all Gardner Minshew now.
Learn to braid your hair. That's like my favorite thing I ever did.
What do you... Like, okay... You pulled it too tight. All your hair's gone now.
Yeah, it was going out before that. That had nothing to do with that.
Pulled it too tight. All right. Well, what kind of headbands? Did you go thick or did you go thin?
The
soccer?
The shoestring Nike
ones. You went. Yeah, so you're like a high school soccer player.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go like the thick ones like we had growing up.
Yeah. Well, you should have.
Yeah.
Been a throw.
Give it OG.
R.I.P. Uncle Cliffy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a bag somewhere that has like 40 of those things in it.
You could get it embroidered. R.I.P. Uncle Spliffy.
Spliffy. There you go.
Yeah.
And people are like, what's that?
Big
like,
up. You know, Cliff Robinson? What do you...
You don't know.
Dude, he was at UConn before UConn was cool.
Yeah? Well, he made UConn cool.
It's kind of weird to think like Jim Calhoun made UConn cool.
Right?
Yeah. I think Ray Allen made it UConn cool.
Probably.
Rip Kemba. Hamilton.
Well, it's like Tark making UNLV cool.
Kemba.
It's like...
Okay, having a mob boss be the basketball coach at UNLV...
Pretty great.
That made so much sense. Like, there's certain people that just fit. Like, Pitino at UMass was perfect, too.
Yeah. I mean, he's great now. I mean, Patino anywhere really in the Big East is great.
Yeah. 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 Or was it? Yeah, it was Patino at UMass, yeah. right? Not Cal? Cal? No, it was Cal UMass. Cal was at UMass, with Marcus Camby. Yeah. Yeah. It was Coach Cal. But, I mean, we're talking the same thing.
Iona has similar colors. That might
Calipari,
be why you got confused.
Patino. It was John Calipari. Because he had to vacate. He vacates everywhere he goes.
Oh, I have St. John's in my... I had the red and white of St. Yeah. John's in my head.
It's the,
okay. That's what it was.
It's the vacation of wins. That's what happens. It's Coach Cal.
He played at UMass.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Patino did?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
I knew there was a UMass tie in there somewhere. I'm just like, what the hell was it?
All right. Well, onward and upward. Let's get to this radio show.
Do it.
Mm. Boy, the Pac-12 did it again.
Mm.
This has got to be a reality check for the Cougs and the Beavs right now.
Uh-oh.
Because there is, it's the same old story over and over again. Next on The Fan.
Your ghost.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Downtown. I don't want to be your stupid game with my big black boots and an old suitcase. I do believe I found.
All right, stop me if you've heard this one at UNLV. Things are going well. You got a little bit of leverage. You go back and you say, hey, well, how about a little more cash here? And then you leave somebody at the altar. That sound familiar from yesterday's show?
Oh.
UNLV's basically done exactly what their quarterback did to them. But they did it to the Mountain West. After overtures from the Pac-12 conference. Late last night, multiple reports came out that the Mountain West had agreed to give both Air Force and UNLV upwards of $25 to $30 million apiece to stay in the Mountain West conference and hold the conference together. Now, we know this is much needed based on the fact that four schools have left the Mountain West already to go and join the Pac-12. The Pac-12 has six teams now, and they are looking for more teams to admit, or seven teams now, to admit into the conference in order to be a viable conference moving forward, with eight teams to have a membership at the FBS level. UNLV and Air Force both had their flirtations with the Pac-12, mm-hmm. for UNLV, Air Force with the American Athletic Conference, and UNLV said, or the Mountain West said, all right, guys, if you guys stick around, we're going to give you big bumps, because mm-hmm. they will hold all the cards for the Mountain West. It's not going to be New Mexico, San Jose State, Hawaii.
Hilariously, this is the thing that the Pac-12
Wyoming
didn't do. When they could have kept things together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they didn't really have the funds to do it. And basically, this is, Mountain West is banking on them winning the lawsuit against the Pac-12.
Which?
Because where that money will come to get $50 million, how much does do the departing schools owe the Mountain West?
Yeah, was it 60?
It's $55 million. $55 million for the five schools to leave the Mountain West.
And if the Mountain West does end up losing that lawsuit, then UNLV and Air Force will leave. Cause
they are in a leverage position. Yeah. Because if they both have a landing spot.
Yeah, AAC for the Air Force and Pac-12 for the UNLV.
So if the Pac-12 wins their lawsuit, they don't have to pay the poaching fee to the Mountain West. Then UNLV can just say, all right, now we'll go to the Pac-12. And we're going to get more money than we currently have right now. They, with the Mountain West, will currently get money that they weren't going to get before just for sticking around and playing nice with all the other schools. So this is where the Pac-12 is just so out of touch. Because unveiling the Mountain West for joining the conference a week ago is the latest in a long list of mishandlings by the Pac-12. Because we talked about this. I said, why would you do this now if you only have six teams at the time? They since have added one more in Utah State. But why would you do this now if you didn't have the other ones in hand? And, I mean, it was because a lot of people were like, well, they must have something else,
something
right?
That's what you said.
You said they have to have the other schools in pocket, and they know it. They didn't. We now know.
Overextended the hell out of themselves.
They did not know that the other schools were coming their way. You have got to be sure if you're going to do that. And then they lost their leverage in all of this by going and getting those four schools. They did not have a plan. They did not have more schools lined up. And as always, the Pac-12 got played again. And they're getting played by UNLV and Air Force.
Which, if you're getting played by the government.
Well, that's pretty standard. My question is, though, like, how much longer are we going to just solely blame conference commissioners and not see the constants here?
Well, I mean,
which is university leadership.
You have a new commissioner. You have your third commissioner now of the Pac-12.
Everybody blame Larry Scott. Which, Larry Scott deserved a lot of blame. Yeah. Everybody blame George Klyovkov. George Klyovkov deserved a lot of blame. Now, are we going to blame the third commissioner now?
Who's
or are we going to say,
for what, 8 months?
What is going on and why are you going out and making these moves when you don't know?
When you don't have anybody in your back pocket. That's the whole thing, is that the Big Ten, the Big 12, they knew. They did all the necessary due diligence and all the work. And now, maybe the Pac-12 did, and maybe they thought they did have it done. But that's the problem, is that they thought they had it done, and then UNLV, because I've talked to people around UNLV who said that the Pac-12 was putting a full-court press on them. Like, they believed that the Pac-12 was going, like, that's where UNLV was going to end up. And maybe that's where they were 48 hours ago. And they went to the Mountain West and said the same thing USC and Oregon did 8 years ago.
It was USC and Washington.
I'm sorry, Washington.
Yeah.
Pay us more. We are your linchpins.
Yeah.
And the Pac-12 said, no. And Mountain West went, okay. Because it was they know they're cooked. Absolutely, unequivocally, totally fried, flambéed, roasted, however you want to put it. They're done. If UNLV and Air Force leave.
This is a bad day for the Pac-12.
Because which is insane because they just added four teams.
Well, but that's the thing, is at the time it was like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Why are you going just to four? You know you need
two more
to get at least six teams. Mm-hmm. Why would you just go and say, yeah, we got these four? I've said this, and I said it at the time, like Tulane and Memphis didn't make sense because they would leave the American Athletic Conference for a nominal gain financially.
And they'd probably lose it with the amount of travel they'd have to take.
No, that was my whole thing, is that their travel would have been wiped out all of that for all of their other sports. So why would that make sense for them? They weren't going to be in a power conference. They would have just gotten a little bit more of a bump on a year-to-year basis. That would have gone right out the door with your travel expenses. It didn't make sense. And this doesn't make sense now for the Pac-12 moving forward. I hope that they do stay together. But this also goes back to my idea of how UNLV is approaching this entire situation, I think is very smart on their part. But it's very bad for the Pac-12 in that UNLV is not going to be made to be the bad guy. They are going to sit there and they're going to watch the whole thing burn down. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have an escape route no matter
one way or the
where
other.
It
they
goes.
Know they have a life raft one way or the other. These are the rich people on the Titanic. This is like, we're fine.
Because they will find a landing spot. They're not like Hawaii.
No.
They're not like Wyoming. They are sitting there going, we're wanted. Well, and if we're not, if the Pac-12 says, no, the hell with you guys, we're going to go somewhere else, they'll be fine. We'll go to the American. Yeah. We'll go to Conference USA. We'll go to wherever. They will find a landing spot because people will want to be in Las Vegas.
Yes.
The Pac-12 wants to be in Las Vegas. This is, for the Pac-12, they don't have a hand anymore.
No.
They really don't. Because if you're going to say, well, we got the best of the Mountain West.
Well, most of it.
But now you're going to have to take the bottom if they're going to leave.
Yeah.
And that's going to come with a lot of baggage if you're going to take Hawaii. All right, go play basketball over there.
Enjoy.
Go play baseball over there. Go play volleyball over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is, and oh, by the way, they're already in another conference for all of those other sports. They're only a partial member of the Mountain West.
Yeah.
That is where.
I mean, the worst case scenario is you're maybe scooping up somebody in the WCC.
Yeah.
Like, and then what does that do for you? You know, it's like
nothing.
Nothing. So nothing. It's not shocking, unfortunately.
No.
I thought, maybe this is me being stupid. I thought new commissioner, learned lessons.
No.
Got four teams agreed. That means they must have the two more in the back pocket, and they had Gonzaga. And I was like, hey, they got a snowball going down the hill. It's not the biggest thing I've ever seen, but they've got some momentum. And like I said, 48 hours ago, it sounded like UNLV was going to be a Pac-12 member. And yep. I was like, well, damn.
But they got played again.
Yeah, I mean, to get played by people or universities that aren't at the big boy table is insane.
And I like this texture on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at VancouverFord.com. This might be the dumbest move I've seen from UNLV, and that's saying a lot given the last 24 hours. I actually don't think it's a dumb move by UNLV.
No, they know they're safe.
They're safe no matter how this plays out.
Take the best, they're most amount of money, most amount of leverage, and just keep applying it. This is what you should have done. The Pac-12, 6 years ago, 8 years ago, this is what they should have done when they went after the Big 12 teams, and they had the leverage, they had the ability to really lean on that, and they didn't. UNLV is going, hey, remember all those other teams that were all like scattered around, we don't really know? They know now that they're wanted by multiple parties.
And they can just sit back
yep.
and they can watch this lawsuit. If the Pac-12 wins the lawsuit, the money back. That Air Force and UNLV are going to be given by the Mountain West isn't going to be available.
No.
It won't be available because that's what they're banking on. The poaching fee is going to be that retention for mm-hmm. UNLV and Air Force. So if that doesn't come through, they can say, all right, Pac-12, we're good. Like, let's go. Mount up.
And if you're the Pac-12 team, if you're the Pac-12, you have to live with that
because they need Las Vegas.
Yes, and that's the thing is like you can say, oh, we're bitter you didn't come here. No, you need to shut up and swallow that medicine.
And if the other, so say the Pac-12 backfills with whatever, I don't even know what direction you go in now.
No,
you have seven teams. Yeah. You need at least one more. What direction do you go? I know what direction the Mountain West is going to go in. Sac State has done a feasibility study of going up FBS. From FCS up to the FBS. They would go and try to convince, you know, a Sac State to come in. And if you're in UNLV at that point, you go, huh. So wait a minute. If we go undefeated and we schedule one really hard non-conference game, we win that. We win our league. A group of five team is guaranteed a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And say we go and, you know, play one of these schools that left us as another non-conference game, and we could say we beat a Pac-12 school if they survive somehow. Mm-hmm. Their path is pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to go through Boise State, Washington State, Fresno State, San Diego State, Oregon State every year. They could just say, all right, well, we'll just go unbeaten and dare a college football playoff.
It could be like those early 2000s Boise State teams where you had like the one game a year where it was against a Pac-12 team. If they won that, all of a sudden, you know, they find themselves in a pretty rad bowl game.
But there's a pathway.
Yeah.
It's undefeated. You just sit there and go, oh, well, I guess.
But the flip side is if UNLV does want to get in the big boy world, then it's a little dicier, particularly if you're talking about football and basketball.
Yeah.
Because you can't have it both ways.
This is, and then texture has come through. It's absolutely stupid. Good luck even getting $1 million in the next media deal for the Mountain West Conference. They have zero college football playoff access. Well, they actually have more than the Pac-12 right now. And they desperately needed cash because they're $20 million in debt and they're relying on money lined up in litigation. Just absolutely stupid. And look at the reaction from their fans. They're not happy. This is where if the Mountain West doesn't come through with that money, they're still going to the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And if they don't go to the Pac-12, they're going to the American. They're going to Conference USA. Las Vegas is an attractive sports entity to have. It really is.
I honestly could see even the Big 12 looking at them.
If you take your Pac-12 glasses off and you just look at it from the standpoint of, does UNLV have leverage right now?
It's the most attractive
and this is the first time
market.
They've ever had leverage. Yeah.
It's the most attractive sports market in the country. I've talked to people that work at the, you know, the highest levels in sports business, and it's insane what Las Vegas means now.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. It was, and like this texture says as well, from a strictly this is business, not personal point of view, the Pac-12 not killing the Mountain West first, then raiding the AAC is an all-time blunder. No doubt about it. The Pac-12 has dropped the ball again.
I'd say it's unbelievable, but like, this is Charlie Brown. That's what the Pac-12 is.
And look, they still might survive this if they win the lawsuit. But right now, you're taking another loss. In the short term, you've taken another loss. And that sucks for the fan bases of Oregon State and Washington State. Because honestly, what schools do they go and get now? If you don't win the lawsuit against the Mountain West, then where do you go? Because if you win the lawsuit against the Mountain West, you get what you wanted. And that's why
I
like the play from Air Force and UNLV here. I do. I like the play.
No, it's great. Like I said, they're doing what teams should do. Yeah. Leverage it.
And if you're Oregon State and Washington State, you hate it. You hate it. And you should. And that's
fine. You've been
totally
played again.
Yeah. God, man. That sucks. That truly is bad stuff for the Pac-12.
Not great, Bob.
And we'll see. We'll see. This money does not exist right now, but if you can get it, good on you. Bad news for the Mariners. Bad news for the Mariners. That'll be in Big Will Bet Sports Center, which is right now.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan. And I got comb shaving. Just two little
country kids outside misbehaving. Well, the Vancouver Ford text line never misses. Hey, 1080 fan friends. Just an Oregon State alum and diehard Mariners fan wondering what and where I should start drinking right now. Yeah, that sucks. That's brutal.
I was talking to one of the engineers at K2 the other day, and he is a Oregon State Mariners, Raiders, Blazers fan.
Gosh.
And I was like, my brother in Christ, you need to change something. Like, you can't have all of that.
Yeah.
You can't have all of that. That's not, like, look, I've covered the Blazers and I was a fan growing up, but I had the St. Louis Cardinals winning titles to balance me out. I had my Trojans winning national titles to balance me out. Hell, my LA Kings won national titles.
Man.
To offset my Raiders and Blazers pains. You can't have all of that sports pain.
Yeah, Mariners.
That's too much.
Officially eliminated with the Royals beating the Nationals 7-4 today. So they are officially eliminated from the wild card hunt. Damn. That one stinks.
Yeah.
That one stinks.
54%.
Well, right now, I'm watching the Oakland A's take on the Texas Rangers, the last game in Oakland. And this has been an unmitigated S show.
Oh, yeah.
In Oakland as they're going on the way out. I love it. The fans are showing up. They've been so loud. They've been raucous.
You heard 30,000 people screaming, sell the team.
Yeah. It's awesome.
What was crazy was the A's announcers let it ring out and acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Look, guys like Dallas Braden, I don't think he's moving to Sacramento to go call these games next year. So I think there's a lot of people that are just fed up and they're like, nope, we're gonna let it go. Let's let this thing ride.
Don't talk over the top of it. I mean, they like it felt like almost like they pointed the mics out and like turned it up.
Well, when it's so loud, yeah, that's gonna happen. And yesterday, you had an employee of the Oakland A's sent out on his social media his discount code for in-stadium purchases.
I miss that. Oh, my God. That's
it's a
wonderful
guy who I think is in field maintenance because I've seen going around from the same Twitter account him on a riding mower, like taking video from the outfield as he's driving around. and mowing the outfield. And he tweeted out his code so anybody in the stadium could get 30% off food and beverage at the point of sale. And fans were like, no, it's working. But the people working the cash register are adding on like 10% tips because they know you're getting a smoking. You're still getting 20% off here, Pally.
Yeah.
You know, they're adding on a little bit. And so he was like, eh, whatever. Go and use it. So sold out game. They're not getting all the money from the concessions because
the margins are cutting into it.
And the fans are like, no, this works. Like, it's absolutely working.
And they're not going to be able to fix it in time.
You had on Tuesday night, a fan literally took his seat out of the stadium.
Yeah, unbolted it.
And was like, deuces.
How did he get the tools in to get to do that? Did he bring some plastic wrenches?
It's Oakland.
There's probably a few that are shaking loose.
But last night, I saw this one from Bob Nightingale of USA Today. Said, currently six security guards are chasing a fan who tried to steal his seat out of the stadium. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday night, guy gets away with it. Wednesday night, guy's like, great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Tries to do it himself. He takes off running, has six security guards trying to chase him down.
Oh, God. I know because, people that have, like, old Yankee Stadium seats and stuff like that.
Yeah, but they sell them off. And John J. Fisher trying to make a buck off this.
Well,
it wouldn't be John J. Fisher. It'd be Oakland Alameda.
Yeah, I think there's Alameda also, County. Like, a soccer team that was tweeting that they were going to play there or something. So I think
really?
It's still going to be.
The Roots? The Oakland Roots?
I think so.
Doesn't Damian Lillard own a part of that?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a, it's like a USL team or
San
whatever.
San Jose doesn't play there, obviously, because
no.
they're on the
they
soccer.
Built a brand new stadium, like John J. Fisher was saying, is that, hey, we need a new stadium, and we're going to turn things around. They built a new stadium, and they suck.
Yeah, well, then he pulled every last penny out of it because he's a penny pincher.
Could you imagine, though, being a guy who goes to, like, you're going to the last A's game. It's sold out today. The crowd is live. Could you imagine showing up and be like, where is my seat?
It's just gone. That's SRO, baby.
It's like, yeah, I'll just sit here on the concrete.
Yeah, it's like the old polo grounds, you know? There wasn't a lot. They just had a little rope for your section.
That'd be a hell of a move there. Yeah. You're just like, where in the world did my seat? This is the seat that guy was in.
Well, I mean, John J. Fisher, like, selling all the seats before the last game would be hilarious.
That would be on brand for him. That would be totally on brand. But this is the best kind of S show, and Oakland is showing out for it. And it's proving that there is a passionate fan base there. There is a fan base that cares mightily about the Oakland A's. They were just not showing up to stick it to you, Fisher, because you don't care about the team. All you care about is making money. And that's all the fans were saying is like, if you give us a reason, we'll show up. And their reason right now is to show the players they still care. To show all of baseball, we still care. This isn't about us not caring about the
disinterested in baseball.
It's about
disinterested in John Fisher.
John J. Fisher, the owner who ran this franchise into the ground. And I appreciate Oakland for doing that. And last night, it was the last night game. Today's getaway day, so the A's players are going to have to just finish the game. Go straight to the airport. You got a flight to catch to go finish out the season.
Bags for Sacramento.
So last night was like the last night game. And this came to us via NBC Sports Bay Area. This is Dallas Braden, who was a pitcher, threw a no-hitter on Mother's Day of all days when his mom, I believe, was either battling cancer or just died from cancer. He's an A's legend. And I thought his send-off for the people of Oakland for the final night game was perfect.
But to a lot of the folks in this town, Jenny, this is religion. This Coliseum has been their cathedral where they have come and made peace. They've come to escape. I think a lot of folks, given the opportunity, have a good idea, or at least they think they have a good idea on how they would say goodbye to an old friend. And something that we know is people process emotions and things like this very differently. And I think it's wonderful to watch people take it in their own way.
Game was over for like an hour. Fans were just still
hanging on.
Taking it in.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not the same, but I think it falls in the similar vein of like, things you're just not used to in sports. And I remember when Paul Allen passed, because it was unexpected.
and it kind of set the fan base. Like, people are like, that I knew, they were diehard Blazers fans. They had no connection to Paul Allen, that he owned the team. Like, we're pretty distraught.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they processed it like it's different. They kind of hung around and lingered in that moment because you just don't know kind of what comes next. And if you're an Oakland A's fan, you don't know what comes next. Like, you know that. Here's the insane thing. They're supposed to go play in Sacramento. That's still not a for sure thing.
They have no direction.
Like, that's, they don't know for sure how they're going to do this next year still. Like, that's, this is a professional team.
Unbelievable.
It's so insane. It's like what happens if that falls through? Do they go play at like a park? Like, where do they go?
Do they go because
they can't share time with the Giants now because the schedule's made out for all of the other events at their field.
Play on the road every game.
I mean, seriously.
They are the Washington Generals. Same colors.
Yeah.
Nah, they'll play in Sacramento. They'll just play at a minor league baseball stadium that sucks.
So or whatever, some other regional minor, like the nice minor league field, but little double A field.
Yeah, wherever their triple, double, and single A teams play.
See them in Hillsboro next year.
Yeah, sure. Why not? We're Diamondbacks in Hillsboro.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But you know what I mean? Like, how insane that would be.
Their entire franchise sucks.
All because, can you believe that something sucks that much because of one person?
Their uniforms are great.
The vacuum of suck with John Fisher is so severe.
Yeah.
It has the capacity to tank a multi-million, hundreds, a billion-dollar entity. It's truly impressive.
It really is. It really is. It really, really, really is. All right. Well, let's move on. You want to get some good?
Sure.
You want some good news? I feel like we've just come out of the gate just like, wow.
I mean, I got some.
Except for I think the A's stuff was fantastic.
Sure, yeah. I mean,
I think it's fantastic.
Giving
their fans.
John Fisher a double barrel on the way out. Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That is good.
Yeah.
I think that is good.
Perfect. Because we have plenty of crappy NBA news to get to, too.
Is it really that crappy?
I mean, yeah.
All right. Well, get to it next. A big move on the periphery
sure.
of the NBA? All right. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All right, Mr. Meringue, you say that this is bad NBA news.
Indeed.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it is. Andrew Marchand of The Athletic has reported that senior writer Zach Lowe has been let go by ESPN, which... If you're talking about where the NBA is headed with a new media rights deal and cross-platform content and TNT going away, the watering down of the NBA product and the shoulder programming, the lifeblood of basketball is the game itself, but the stuff that lifts it up is all of the other content.
Mm-hmm.
All of the podcasts, all of the writing, all of the shoulder programming, the TV shows around it that keep the conversation going. No one is better at this than the NFL, and it's not close. The mm-hmm. NFL, even with appointment viewing and games typically only three times a week, continue to pump out better, higher quality, more frequent content than a league with substantially more games and more storylines, because ESPN, in particular, has prioritized actually having good content and good people around it.
Okay, so why is this bad for the NBA? Because Zach Lowe is not dead.
No, but wherever he goes, even if he goes to the Ringer,
okay.
Which is pretty likely considering his relationship with Bill Simmons,
yeah.
I'd be shocked if he didn't end up there, to be honest. Where is the place that you go to consume content for a sport?
Well, they're going to go to YouTube and the Low Post podcast on the Ringer Network.
It's still ESPN.
Yeah.
It's still ESPN. The worldwide leader, even to talk about the death of it and, you know, the personalities that have left
yeah.
and gone and done their own things. ESPN, ABC, Disney didn't spend all of that money to not have the eyeballs on it. And they are leaning so far. Look, I love Mike Greenberg. Like, you and I, we grew up with mm-hmm. with Greeny. Greeny should not be covering basketball.
Well, I don't think that their basketball coverage has been good.
No, it's been limited. The
I mean,
the best people that they had, and this is going to sound insane. Adrian Wojnarowski was one of the best. And then he invented the info broker world. Like he was the one
that was the best part about their coverage was their breaking news arm. Yeah.
Their actual content has been limited to Zach Lowe and Kevin Pelton. Shout out KP. But
And Pelton is just on .com too.
Yes, and he very rarely makes a TV appearance, but he does podcasts and stuff alongside Zach.
And that's like Zach Lowe. They weren't putting him on TV all that much either.
He was on NBA Today all the time, with the exception of the last few months, because clearly they were making a decision. But it's turned into what everybody has always called it now. It is the Screaming and Yelling Network.
Yeah,
and there's no more actual coverage.
I think that this is not as bad for the NBA as it is for ESPN. But now I think it's
bad for the NBA in general coverage, because if you look at the NFL, look, people can say what they want about Dan Orlovsky being weird or corny, or what they think of Ryan Clark's suits, or whether or not they like Mina Kimes or Laura Rutledge or Marcus Spears, any of those people. They produce incredible content that is more than yelling about stuff.
Yes.
They actually,
well, even though Ryan Clark has gone, he's buying into it more and more with every passing day.
Yes, but if you ask Ryan Clark to actually get up and get up on the chalkboard, you're going to get great content.
Yeah.
You're going to get.
And that's the interesting thing about the NBA coverage is, like, none of their former players that they have on that network are really willing to do
it. Legs is the only one, and not only is Legs the only one willing to do it, Legs is the best.
Yeah, he is.
And it's not,
he's really
it's
good.
Not particularly close. He is who they should be featuring, but...
And they do on Get Up and First Take and
everywhere except for the actual game coverage. Like we were going to halftime in the NBA playoffs. And remember the was it Awful Announcing charted it? They were doing a minute 10.
Yep.
And it was like teasing something coming up before 5 minutes commercials. And it was Greeny and Perkins.
I think that this opens up an opportunity for the NBA. And look, make no mistake about this. ESPN saw that their biggest competition in who does it best in NBA coverage, TNT, right?
Yeah,
they lost their competition in that.
Yeah.
So they can start cutting on theirs, because Tuesday and Thursday night, that's going to be gone after this season. Right. In that competition that they're going up against. I think if you frame this differently, there is actually a viable way that we get a platform created that is not ESPN. But, you know, you can go and you can, like on YouTube, get better centralized NBA coverage. And I think Lowe and guys like Bill Simmons might be the guy who's motivated enough to get it going. Not that his coverage will be the best on there, but what will happen is you can get more, like, where people that want NBA coverage will go to is that YouTube
and then platform. And that's what McAfee did. And then McAfee came to ESPN. That's the thing that
and then
drives
ESPN
me crazy.
Will be like, oh, it works. And then they go and they'll poach it again.
It's cyclically stupid.
Yeah.
But my biggest complaint with ESPN is they have never treated NBA content creation like they do NFL content creation. Like on the NFL side and the ESPN, they went out and got Kevin Clark. They went out and got a couple of the Ringer guys. They got Ben Solak. Those aren't guys that are like the most entertaining takesmen. They're deep dive, all 22 film watching nerds.
I think that that's because they're seeing that there is a larger market and a more widespread market for that in NFL than there is in the NBA.
I would disagree, and I think a big part of that is you have to be willing to put it out there, and you have to lean into it, because the NFL has and ESPN as a partner has always leaned into that from the jump. The NBA, particularly under Adam Silver, has been more about social impressions, which is takes, and it's like,
so I mean, that's, you just said it right there. That's it.
It doesn't make any sense.
And so that's why they're saying we're paying, and the report is that Lowe is making like seven figures, that you're paying a guy seven figures and they're not getting the return that they were expecting out of the guy who is that X's and O's guy from the impressions that they were getting on the website and on the shows that he would appear on.
Well, no, I'm talking social media impressions. Like that's NBA media, we all talk, and like one of the things that I think generally we all despise is how much Adam Silver
it's highlight
NBA
driven
is so, like, because it's going to kill the sport. It's going to kill it. because it's no longer about the basketball. It's about snippets of basketball.
Yeah.
It needs to be about the game. And the NFL, every time it is straight away, it is they.
So who are you upset at here, ESPN or Adam Silver?
Both.
Okay.
Because one hand washes the other.
Okay. Because I feel like from what you just said, ESPN just read the room and said, all right, well, we'll go the other way on it then.
It's a major problem.
Yeah.
It's a major problem.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to hour number two here on Danny and Dusty. We've got a little bit of college football news coming at you right now. It's a great weekend of college football, by the way. We got a great college football weekend. We'll get to that in hour number two. Why the Pirates made a move that everybody does not know. But the best linebacker in college football, according to Pro Football Focus, next on The Fan.